This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ O believers, avoid delving into a lot of suspicion or assumptions or negative assumptions or bad assumptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ For certainly, if we make a lot of assumptions, if we delve into assumptions, then sooner or later we're going to end up in sin because from those assumptions is sinfulness. And so we learn from this very important verse in the Quran that one of the morals of our deen is to avoid making judgments about things that we are not sure about, matters that we don't have clarity upon. And I want to share with you an incident that occurred with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that involved this very issue of suspicion. This is narrated to us by the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Safiya bint Huyay radiyallahu ta'ala anha wa radaha, this is narrated in the Sahihain, in which she tells us that on one particular night she went to go visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he was making i'tikaf in the masjid. He was spending time in the masjid. And she went to go visit him. She says, I sat with him for some time. And then the hour got late. And because it was late in the night, the Prophet ﷺ decided to accompany me home.
Now, they're walking home and it's late at night, and as we know, there weren't any street lights back in that time. So there's darkness. And she says, radiallahu anha, she says, as we are walking, we see two Ansari men who look upon us. And as they see us, they begin to walk away quickly. They begin to rush away. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says out loud, hadihi Safiyyah. This is Safiyyah. Hadihi Safiyyah bint Huyay. This is Safiyyah, the daughter of Huyay. And the men begin to say out loud, Subhanallah ya Rasulullah, Subhanallah ya Rasulullah. Now, just to give you an idea of what is happening here, what is happening, and I know this may be uncomfortable to listen to, but this story is very, very important. What is happening here is that these two men see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is with a woman. Now, because it is dark, and for a number of other reasons, it's hard to tell who this woman is. And so they walk away quickly, not wanting to delve into the subject of who the Prophet ﷺ is with. And the Prophet ﷺ, in order to avoid any lack of clarity, any doubt regarding who he is with, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "This is my wife, Safiyya. This is Safiyya bint Huyay." He identifies clearly who she is. And they say, Subhanallah, ya Rasulullah, we wouldn't assume that about you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us something very, very important. He says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, inna shaytana yajri min al-insan majra ad-dam. He says, the shaytan flows through human beings like the flowing of blood. Wa inni khashit an yaqdhifa fi qulubikuma shay'a or su'a. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the shaitan flows through human beings like the flowing of blood. And so I feared the shaitan would put something in your hearts. Something bad, some bad thought would enter in your heart. And now people, subhanAllah, they hear this narration, and one of the questions that comes up, one of the so-called criticisms that comes up is, well, if we're talking about good assumptions and not making bad assumptions, then why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not give them the benefit of the doubt? Why did he not assume that they wouldn't think bad of him? And that can seem like a fair point to make, but if you really understand what is happening in this narration, it becomes clear that actually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving them the benefit of the doubt. Because when they said, O Messenger of Allah, we would not assume this of you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, no, you know what, you could assume that of me. He taught them instead, he taught them a lesson. He said, no, what the meaning here is, no, I don't assume that you, my companions, these are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, this is the meaning here, that I don't assume that you would think bad of me, but perhaps you did not take into account that the shaitan flows through you like the flowing of blood. And if we think about how blood flows through our bodies, subhanAllah, there's many interesting things here, but one of the things is, blood is flowing through our bodies right now. As long as we're alive, may Allah protect us. Every single person listening to me right now, there's blood flowing through us. The problem is, well, how often do we think about that? How often do we think about our blood being pumped throughout our body? And how significant that actually is. If the blood stopped pumping through our body, we could not live. But we are not cognizant, we're not aware of it. Life goes on and we don't even think about it. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ says, this is the example of how the shaitan is with us. That the shaitan's influence is there, it's consistent, it doesn't stop, and it's very intimate, it's very close. Just like the blood flows within our body, likewise the shaitan's influence is there. And so the Prophet ﷺ is teaching them a lesson and saying, look, I don't think that you would think bad of me, but if you are not aware of the influence of the shaitan, then perhaps you will not be mindful of what the shaitan is putting into your hearts. And so here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching them a lesson that we are all susceptible to thinking bad if we're not aware of what is influencing our hearts. The shaytan, shayateen min al-jinn wa shayateen min al-ins. Whether they be the shayateen from the jinn, whether it be the shaytan Iblis himself or other shayateen, or even may Allah protect us, shayateen from human beings. Those people who want to bring about some type of problems. Those people want to cause problems. Or those people who may not even aware that they're causing problems, but because it's their habit to talk bad, to assume bad, they may come to us with bad interpretations, with bad assumptions. And now imagine, subhanAllah, the Prophet is telling us that this, the shaitan can influence not an average person here. We're talking about the best of generations. If the shaitan can influence them, if they're not capable, if they're not careful, then what about us? 1400 years later, 1400 years removed from the best generation, how much more could the shaitan influence us, number one? Number two, who are they? Who could they possibly think bad about? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person is not aware, if they're not conscious, they can think bad of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what about us? And that is why, subhanAllah, when we're in a situation where someone has made a bad assumption about us, or they've assumed things, or they've interpreted things in a bad way, and sometimes it's someone who is close to us, sometimes it's a friend, sometimes it's a family member, sometimes it's a loved one, and often we are shocked, especially when it's a loved one. We feel hurt. We feel like, what has happened? Like, I thought you were my friend. I thought you were my brother. I thought you were my sister. How could you think this of me? And anyone who knows this hadith, this tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, this story, this incident, should not be shocked. Because the Prophet ﷺ is telling us here clear that even the Prophet ﷺ, the best human being to walk the face of the earth, if the shaitan can influence the best of generation to even perhaps think bad of the Prophet ﷺ, then what about us? And so we should not be surprised when we think bad. But the lesson here is to be aware of our thoughts and our feelings and what is happening within us. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ warned us. He said, "Iyyakum wadh-dhann." He said, I warn you, beware of your thinking, of your assumptions. فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ Because dhann is like the worst of speech, the most false speech. Because our perception of reality gets altered. We don't know what's real anymore. And the heart is so fickle. It changes. It so quickly flips. And that is why the shaitan is very smart in the way he works. He works on our hearts. Because the heart, al-qalbu yataqallab, the heart flips and changes. And this is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly to keep our hearts firm. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Oh, turner, changer, flipper of the hearts. Keep our hearts firm upon your deen. And this is why we are hurt sometimes by our own loved ones. Because it's someone who is a loved one, someone who may respect us and love us and like us and all that kind of stuff. And then something happens. And then our heart and their heart turns. And as I said, sometimes we are deeply hurt by that. And sometimes we are surprised. Because the battleground, my brothers and sisters, the battleground of the shaitan is the heart. He knows that if he can reach the heart of an individual, he can cause more destruction than anything else. And this is why the Prophet warned us over and over again of the heart, taking care of the heart. Yes, we think of the heart in terms of spirituality, and yes, the shaitan has influence on our spirituality, definitely, but also in our relationships, also in our interaction, also between the loved ones. Do we think about how the shaitan is constantly attacking our hearts? The shaitan is waging battle on our hearts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha idha salahat salah al jasadu kullu." In the body, there's a piece of flesh, there's a piece of meat. If it's okay, the rest of the body will be okay. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ If it is ruined, if it is corrupted, then everything else will follow. Our limbs will follow, the body will follow. And this is why when we start in our relationships, in our interaction, when it comes to our character, the first place we turn is our heart. Because it is so easy for the shaitan and, dare I say, even others to manipulate our hearts. Because once again, our perception of reality is sometimes affected by what's in our hearts. And how easy, especially in today's day and age of social media, where so much is left to be unclear. All we have sometimes is words of people, whether it be a post on Facebook or Instagram or a comment. Sometimes WhatsApp messages and WhatsApp groups. Sometimes we are sure, I know that she said this and she meant this by it, because here, I have the words, literally, and we'll screenshot it and be like, I have proof. I have proof that she said this and she meant this and this was her intention and so on and so forth. But let's talk about words for a second. Are we always sure of the true intentions behind words? There's a statement I'm going to say to you right now, and I want you to think about what that means to you. What understanding do you get out of it? I never said she stole your money. Okay, I'm going to say it one more time. I never said she stole your money. What does that mean? Well, the reality is that if we were to emphasize or focus on one word, it could change the meaning, sometimes completely. And so seven words, seven different meanings. I never said she stole your money. What does that mean? That means, well, I didn't say it. Perhaps somebody else said it. I never said she stole your money. That's the emphasis on like never came out of me. Never happened. Never, ever, ever, ever happened. I never said she stole your money. I may have alluded to it. I may have gestured towards it. I may have thought it. I never said it. I never said she stole your money. Maybe somebody else. Maybe I said somebody else stole your money, but I never said she stole your money. I never said she stole your money. Maybe she borrowed it, right? But I never said she stole it. I never said she stole your money. Maybe she stole somebody else's money, but she didn't steal your money. I never said she stole your money. Maybe she stole your car. Maybe she stole some other possession, something else. But she never stole your money. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is a simple sentence made out of seven words, seven different interpretations of this one simple sentence. How then can we read something and be 100% sure that this is what the person intended? This is what the person meant. And the problem is that the shaitan is clouding our thinking. The shaitan wants to so cause problems amongst us. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Inna shaytana qad ya'isa an ya'buduhu al-musallun," that the shaytan has given up hope. That the musallun, this is a way of saying those people who worship Allah, those who pray, those who have submitted to Allah, that they're going to worship the shaytan. He knows that's not going to happen. He's given up hope in that. وَلَكِنْ فِي التَّحْرِيشِ بَيْنَهُمْ. So what does he do? He wants to cause problems amongst us. He wants to cause issues because he knows that's my way to get. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, anytime we see people gathered for the sake of something good, people come together for the sake of something good, anytime Muslims come together for some type of khair, the shaitan's attack gets even more severe. Because his goal is, can I cause some problems here? Can I cause some issues? Can I have some problems so whatever goods that is going to come out of this organization, this masjid, this community, this event, whatever it may be, can I minimize that type of good? And that is why one of my dear mentors and one of my dear teachers, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the things that he said to me and some of my other fellow instructors and teachers with Al-Maghrib Institute, when we had gathered on one particular occasion, he started the gathering, rahimahullah ta'ala, by saying, look, we are all gathered here for good. And so we got to be aware that the shaitan has a motive here. Because if we work together, there's so much good that can come out of what we're doing. And that's any time the case when Muslims come together, believers come together for good. So much good can come out of ta'awun, working together, helping one another. We are an ummah. We come together. That is part of it is built into our faith that we congregate, we come together. We are ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah. What does that mean? That means we are the people of the sunnah. We identify with the sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But not only that, we come together upon the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are united upon the sunnah. We have a common goal, and that's part of our identity. It makes us strong. So have no doubt that whether it be a large group of people that are coming together for good, or a small group of people, or even two individuals, a man and a woman who come together, get married for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about the good that can come out of a good household. Think about the khair that comes because of that. And there's so many things we can think about, but just think about pious children, good children, and the future of our ummah, the future of our communities, the future of Islam in our locality. Think about the next generation versus if this household is a toxic household. If the husband and wife are always talking down to one another, they're being condescending to one another, There's a lot of infighting going on. Think about the implications that has on this generation to come. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, the shaitan is so invested in causing problems amongst us and controlling, you know, and I know it sounds weird, sounds like a conspiracy theory and all that, but the reality is the shaitan believes he can control us through our hearts. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers and sisters, you know, there's a famous statement that has been attributed to many of the early scholars that if you see something from your brother that is wrong, that you disprove of, make 70 excuses for them. And I know, subhanAllah, we hear this narration, we hear this statement, and sometimes we think of it as just pure fantasy. 70 excuses, like, great, maybe somebody else could do that, but I can't do that. But it all flips, doesn't it, when we are on the receiving end of a bad assumption. Because we want people to make 70 excuses for us, right? Why do we want people to make excuses for us? There's no one who would listen to my khutbah today and say, I disagree, if they know they're on the receiving end, right? If someone has made some assumption about us, they've thought something bad about us, we're like, yeah, that's the correct thing to say. I'm glad he gave this khutbah today because people have been assuming things about me and it's wrong and so on and so forth. But that's not who I'm talking to today. We all want people to assume the best in us. I'm talking about when we're on the other side of the equation, when we are sure we know the interpretation. And as some of our scholars, they would say that try to come up with 70 excuses, and if you can't, then say to yourself, perhaps this person has an excuse or a reason that I can't think of. Because when we say, I've covered all my bases, I know everything there is to know, we are saying we have knowledge of everything. And with all due respect, that's a very arrogant thing to assume and to think, that we have knowledge of everything, let alone the idea that we have knowledge of what is happening in someone's heart. We don't know. We want people, when we're on the receiving end of it, we will often want people to judge us by our intentions, right? That's not what I intended. That's not what I meant. That's not my intention here. But when we judge other people sometimes, we will judge them by their actions and we don't care about their intentions. Ha, look, they did this. They said this. It happened. It's right there. It's in front of me. But do we not owe them the courtesy that they are our brother and our sister in Islam, that the asal, the default of a believer for us is good? Is that part of our being? Do we understand that? Is it part of the structure of our community that we assume that the default of a Muslim, al aslu fil Muslim as-salama, the default of a believer is good? When did that change? When did that flip? Well, people say, we're in a different generation now. People are sinful and this and that, and you know, I know dishonest Muslims and so on and so forth. Our ideals and morals are not sent for a perfect people. Muslims have always had flaws. We've always been human beings. But it is to get the best out of people. And so this applies today as much as it applied to the generation of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that the default of a believer is good. Umar radiallahu anh, he would say, always think good of what someone said unless you are sure, of the opposite. And that means that we have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, here's my evidence, clear evidence, that this was not based off of assumptions, it was not based off of things that I figured, I thought they were true. And my brothers and sisters, this is, if we were to just if we think about all the conflict that occurs, whether it be on a communal level, whether it be on a societal level, whether it be our own personal relationships, a very quick fix to solving a lot of our problems is if just one side, one party in a conflict gave the other party the benefit of the doubt. Just one party. And I'm not saying we have to say, well, here's a good interpretation. All we have to do is say, there has to be a good interpretation. I just can't think of it right now. And until and unless I'm 100% sure that this is what that person meant, I'm not going to take away the sanctity of a believer The sanctity, the right we have one upon one another, that we assume good unless we know of the opposite. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَى نَبِيهِ وَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعثمان وعمر وعلي وأن سائر الصحابة وآل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله